Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Don't tell her at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey man.
Hope you had a great weekend. Mine would have been a lot better if our Atlanta United would have found a way to get a W, but that wasn't the case. And coming up in less than 20 minutes, Jason Longshore, actually about 2:40, will join us. And we will talk with him and get his thoughts. Analyst for our Atlanta United. Guys, we start there. And coming off the weekend, there was a lot to get to. You just heard John talk about some breaking news in the NFL with a signing of Quan Alexander. But, Mike, I will get back to what I asked last week when it comes to Atlanta United. And Wednesday's a big match, Monterey. We know that. CONCACAF continues. But yesterday there was no urgency. And we were flat. We were sloppy in the second half. And it cost us a draw. Now, for casual fans and fringe fans who are like, well, what's the big deal? I hear United fans are really PO'd about the way this all went down yesterday. The fact is, Cincinnati shouldn't have even been on the field with us. Mm. And the fact is, we should have blown them out. And when I say that, it should have been maybe 3-1, not 1-1. And when you're talking about an expansion team, this is not the same similar kind of expansion team that came into the league that we were, Mike. When we came in, it was a different animal. And this is their second MLS match, and they're looking like world beaters out there against us. And here we are flat with no sense of urgency.
Yeah, they got beat 4-1 by Seattle on a road trip. So it's certainly not what we expected. We thought this is the match where we get right and we get into a flow of things. And, you know, Herediano, that match, we were just talking about this before the show, where things were just rolling. That's a team which had been on the ropes down in the Costa Rican League. And once we hit them with that shock and awe, they just completely folded. The problem was yesterday after the early goal, and yeah, here we go, we're off and running. I think most United fans like me thought it was going to be a 5-1, 5-0 game. We don't build on it. And everybody's got a theory. And you know, at halftime, we're all sitting there at the bar going, hey, we're up 1-0, but we should have more. Is it Miggy? We miss his speed, the ability that he had, that specific skill set. But here's the thing. Okay, Miggy's gone. Tito Villalba is the next fastest guy. So why don't we use him? He's not on the field, right? So, I mean, that's a problem. You know, Barco does have some speed. Why are we not using the – we have weapons. It's not like Miggy was a one-man gang. Miggy was the stir that stirred the drink. Miggy also took his lumps in 17. There were some growing pains when he first got here, which people forget. But it's just everybody's got a theory, and we'll try, as you said, make some sense of it with Jason Longshore. All I know is, as a fan, purely from a casual fan, I've been a soccer fan for 11 years, okay? It's nothing like what I saw last year. There is nothing you could compare last year's United team with what we're seeing right now. Would you agree with me there?
Well, I said it last week. The attacking style that we had, we're not attacking in the same fashion. And if you want to get into the tactics and the formations, we can do that. I mean, we can get into specific hardcore soccer talk. I'd rather not. I'd rather keep it as simple as possible so that everybody can really understand what we were and what we are in our present composition are two different things. Now, the things I continue to hear are we got a new coach.
True.
New manager. We got a few new players.
True.
Things haven't gelled yet. And I'm not here to make excuses. It's not my job. I don't do it for the Falcons. I'm not going to do it for the Hawks. And I'm not going to do it for United because we won a championship. Nobody cares about what we did last year. We raised the banner. It was electric at Mercedes-Benz to see that happen. That's what it should be about for our teams. But, Mike, nobody cares about that. It is about now, and what are we going to do to maybe get back there and repeat? So, for me, when I look at our team right now, there are a lot of things that are going on. But I want to be clear about this as we start the show. I'm not looking to fire Frank DeBoer. Not yet. But I am disappointed and concerned about the way that we are playing. And if Frank DeBoer shows the inability to make the adjustments based on the personnel, then we're going to continue to have this issue.
And that's the thing, guys. We talked a lot about when we in the offseason what we were looking for. All we wanted was a continuation of the style of play that we all fell in love with and got us a championship. And if you missed it, Doug Robertson on his Twitter page, who covers the United for AJC, was saying that, remember, guys, things said before the season by Darren Eales, Carlos Bocanegra, Frank DeBoer aren't happening. Same attacking style. Playing the kids and less experience, using depth. And that hasn't happened as of yet. So, look, we certainly know we've got the talent. And the other thing is that I'm like you. I hate to play devil's advocate. I'm always, like everything in this town, I want to press for excellence. I want to press for no excuses. But it's a weird, weird way to start the season with a new system,
yep,
with our star player over at Newcastle. And this, maybe the best thing for us will be we'll take a whooping on Wednesday. We'll get over with the champions, whatever this CONCACAF Champions League is, and we can just focus on MLS. Because after the Philadelphia Union, we've got 2 weeks for these players to learn whatever Frank DeBoer is trying to do.
I agree with Mike Conte in this sense, and I heard Conte say this when you talk about this compressed schedule. This has hurt us because it's not allowed us to train as much as we'd like. If you want to lay out some real things to the reason why we're not clicking, you know, that's a big part of it. Because they've been on the road and they've been traveling. And CONCACAF, for what it is, we've spent a lot of energy and effort towards trying to, you know, really do something and impress. But, Mike, at the end of the day, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to overcome this deficit on Wednesday. We'll see what happens. But I'll be honest, I think that probably might be the best thing for us, but so we can focus on what really matters, at least for us, and that is MLS.
Well, that's why I said on Friday I thought it might get worse before it gets better, but I thought we were going to see a lot of younger players. I thought we were going to see a lot of the reserves on Sunday. We went with much of the same lineup we saw down in Mexico. So it's hard to get your head around it. We don't have familiarity with the coach.
Yeah.
We knew, and Tata, you know, we were talking about this before the show, tactically, how brilliant they were after that Toronto loss. That's the last time we've had fans this angry. After we lost to Toronto, we lost to the Supporters' Shield, and then we come back and we have that sort of come-to-Jesus meeting that Parkhurst and Gressel and everybody told us about, Brad Guzan, go off and we beat NYCFC, and then boom, we take care of Red Bulls. And Tata made some amazing adjustments on the fly and changed the style of play all the way to the championship. We haven't seen that. All we know about Frank DeBoer is he wanted Ajax, and unfortunately, whether it was Carl, intrigue, people who never wanted him there in the first place, he's flamed out at his last two destinations, Inter Milan and then at Crystal Palace. So a lot of fans are going, well, is it stubbornness? Are we going to see some flexibility here? We don't know where this is going to go.
Yeah, I want to, just like I wouldn't fire Dan Quinn or call for his job after 4 or 5 games, I'm not going to do it after 4 or 5 matches with Frank DeBoer. I need to see more. But I'm not happy with where we are, and Atlanta United fans shouldn't be. You know, it's not as if our team changed 9 guys. We didn't. So, Mike, for me, here's the biggest stickler. We got to be more exciting. That was boring yesterday, okay? And for me, I'm a guy that loves the game, but there are a lot of people who came in and jumped on board and got on this train because it was exciting. And yesterday, it wasn't. So if that's style of play, if that's tactical things that we need to change, that's the last thing we want to be, Mike, because that's why the league and around the world people fell in love with us, is because we were exciting.
Right. And I know, guys, there's some technical stuff. As we said, we don't want to get too heavy with it. We will ask Jason some of the questions I know you guys want to hear. But as a fan, I'm saying, why can't I get the ball from one end to the other the way I was able to do last year? It was Miggy's burst of speed that was instrumental. There's no way we can replicate that. Why are things so static? You know, I said on Friday, it's almost like a constipated style of soccer compared to that you said, that free-flowing style. I mean, it was really a drag. People were sitting down. Usually my section, everyone stands the whole match. People were frustrated. There was some booing. I know some people were saying, oh, you shouldn't boo.
There was
a smattering of boos. Look, people are frustrated. When you give me filet mignon, right, and you give me, or whatever you like, you like a ribeye, I like fat equals flavor. You give me that ribeye, and all of a sudden you're throwing some, you know, I don't know what that was. Kangaroo meat we were eating yesterday. It just wasn't what we're – it's not up to our standard.
It's not.
Dan Quinn talks about a standard. I don't know what his standard – I do know what the United standard is, and that was not it.
404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'll say it now, and I'll say it until things get corrected. And that's not to say we won't have bad matches, guys. And that's not to say we might not lose a few along the way. But Frank DeBoer's got to get this right. And we need to get it corrected pretty quickly, okay? Where's the scoring? Where's the attacking? Where's the fun style that you've talked about that you were going to implement when you got here? That is the question I have for Frank DeBoer right now and for Atlanta United's front office. I'm not seeing it. And when I said this last week, we were like, Dukes, chill. It's early. Then yesterday, you folks want to boo. Yeah. I mean, where are you at?
Well, again, it's when a tie, a draw feels like a loss. We all know what that feels like. It's just so frustrating because if Pity Martinez is the South American player of the year, put him in a position to score. Put him in a position to succeed. Align him in some way where we can see his natural ability, which right now, guys are going, this guy's like the best player in South America, right? I mean, and Barco. I mean, put Barco in a spot where he can succeed. You know, why don't we go to four defender posture at the end of the game if we didn't have anything going? There's a lot of things. Now, I will say this: as much as I have learned some things about soccer in my 11 years, Frank DeBoer in the last few minutes of games were not able to close it out, and there's some tactical issues there, like not subbing down in Mexico until it was too late. So there are some legitimate concerns with the tactics of the coach. But big picture, Carl, we've just got to start scoring. One goal in two matches in MLS. We're the highest scoring team last year, and our first year in existence, we're the second highest scoring team.
And that's a big deal, and that's the standard that Mike and I talk about. You can also find us across all social media platforms, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. We start with Atlanta United because, hey, we are champions. When you become a champion, the expectation changes, okay? And I said this to Darren Eales a couple of weeks ago. This climb over a quick period of time, 2 years, to get here was great. But to maintain it becomes much more difficult. And when things happen the way they've happened here early on in the season, this is what you get, man. And you get fan reaction, you get our reaction, and certainly people around the country that are soccer heads are talking about this, and they're going, what's going on? I got texts and tweets yesterday, Dukes, what's going on with Atlanta United? I don't have the answers. I'm waiting to figure it out, but I don't have the answers.
Look, and we know teams are going to park the bus, okay? Nobody wants to sit here and make us look like the Harlem Globetrotters of soccer and be celebrating and dancing around the goal and everything. People are going to try to shut us down. You've got to have plan B and plan C. So it's early. We've given you all the variables in this equation: compressed schedule, new system, injuries. We need Franco Escobar out there in a big way. You know, glad to see Gressel play yesterday. A lot of people didn't know if Gressel was going to go. And, of course, what does Gressel do? Gets the ball in a perfect position to Joseph, and he makes an unbelievable shot on the short side. You know?
Yep.
So the one guy, the constant we've been able to trust, at least in this short sample size, has been number 24, Julian Gressel. And, of course, Joseph will finish. Got to get him the ball.
Mike Bell, ATL, on Twitter. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio shows, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game and like us on Facebook if you've not done so. We'll come back. Headlines next. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, join me this Saturday, actually the 16th, this Saturday, 3 to 5 at Meehan's Public House in Sandy Springs for a St. Paddy's Day party sponsored by Lambay Irish Whiskey. Sorry, I had something in my throat. Hey, come out and support St. Baldrick's from noon until 4 as people go bald for a cure for children's cancer research. We're going to have a good time. More about this event coming up throughout the course of the week, but it's Saturday, man, and we'd love to get a chance to see you guys. Come out and support as well. Mike and I will get a chance to talk to Jason Longshore in less than 20 minutes from now about our Atlanta United. I know a lot of folks responding and a lot of frustration, as we said, simply based on the fact that we should be playing better. I think everybody feels that way, but I do want to be clear. I'm not calling for his job. I know there's a lot of frustration out there, but we got to get better, and we got to get there pretty quickly, Mike.
It is just the toughest. I mean, as we said, people don't want to hear about it because we got spoiled, man. Things are easy for us, relatively, by Atlanta sports standards, how we got to that championship in just 2 years. But, yeah, it's the combination of this very difficult way to start your coaching career by having to play international with this, you know, jammed-up schedule the way it is, with some injuries, too, to some key spots. You know, and the, you know, the Miggy hangover is a thing now, you know, but you've got enough talent out there that you should be able to get over it. So anyway, more on that with Jason. But as you can tell, we're passionate. And if you had told me, man, 20 years ago, I'd be like losing my mind over a soccer team. But it just shows you the connection that people have made. People were starving for soccer here. I was trying to explain this to a buddy of mine who was going when it was first match yesterday and just how great the energy and the vibe is. And it was just really, quite honestly, that last, you know, 10, 15 minutes, the air's out of the balloon, man. People just kind of like, what's up with our team? Everybody's scratching their heads.
The supporter groups were still making noise and chanting and cheering, but the vibe was not the same.
Nope.
It just wasn't.
It really wasn't.
And if you were there, you know, it wasn't the same. Not what we're used to. And I think that's a function of everybody waiting for this explosion to happen that simply hasn't happened offensively. Hey, also coming up next hour, guys, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network. He's one of the best draft guys out there. We love talking with him at this time of year, also leading into the draft. Some things will change, but I'll be honest with you. A lot of this stuff is kind of set. There'll be some guys who get to their pro day, they'll run a faster time, Mike, and they may show a little bit better. Like maybe Elijah Holyfield catches the ball better at UGA than he did at the combine. But for the most part, you have an idea coming out of the combine where guys are going to be slotted, at least what round.
Yeah, and I know there's the dogs are kind of taking a beating. The combine and the post-combine analysis we heard. DeAndre Baker's stock, Elijah Holyfield, obviously very slow. Hopefully he'll do a lot better when he does his pro day at Georgia. Kyler Murray's got his pro day, by the way. He'll throw and do everything on Wednesday, and Daniel Jeremiah is going to be a part of that with NFL Network. So we'll ask him about the old linemen that look good. What about best athlete? Not to mention, you know, the things we've done in the past. Can we maybe beef up the running game late in the round? They're all certainly, Carl, a lot of big-time defensive tackles and offensive linemen in those first two rounds. Every mock draft you and I've done, we can get what we need if you want to get in the trenches. Just a matter of will they commit to that or go for the best athlete.
You got to commit to it. Coming up at 3, it's our NFL Blitz. We will get more into what went down over the weekend with Antonio Brown. If you want to go check out the Duke's Dump, my podcast, on the website, 929thegame.com. I talk about the relation between AB and Julio. It's up. You can go check it out. It's out there on Twitter as well. With that, Craig behind the glass, our engineer, Bo Morgan producing the show. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Brad Guzan, Mike saying, we can talk about all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay? Formations, blah, blah, blah.
Tactics, et cetera. Right.
Yeah, but he's saying, listen, it's 11 on 11. We've got to be better. We've got to make plays and finish. I do agree with Brad, and I was glad he said what he said. But you get back – this gets back to what you just talked about. And we talk about this with the Falcons as well. Hawks, doesn't matter. You got to put guys in a position to be successful.
Right.
Doesn't that get back to formations and some of the stuff, tactical stuff that we've been talking about? I do agree with Brad. Ultimately, it's about making plays. We haven't made enough of those.
You can talk about systems. You can talk about formations. You can talk about whatever you want. At the end of the day, it's 11 guys that are competing against another 11. And – more times than not this year, we haven't been good enough.
So, I mean, you see a spark, and that's why, you know, guys buying into the system. You know, Joseph, look, he's a star athlete, okay? I'm not trying to compare Joseph to a wide receiver in the NFL, but, you know, the star athlete, the artiste, you know, he wants to be a part of the game. So you hope that, you know, we don't see heads down, and there's nothing to indicate that that's the case. But a lot of, I saw Doug Robertson, the AJC, talking about, is it time for that come to Jesus meeting? Well, holy cow, it's a little early for that, isn't it? And you can only do that once or twice, can't you, right?
Yeah, I mean... Again, to me, this is very simple. And I trust the two guys I do trust, because I don't know enough about Frank DeBoer, okay? I hadn't been here long enough. Carlos Bocanegra, Darren Eales. This is not a hard conversation to say, all right, where can we be flexible? How do we continue to adjust? Frank will get all the credit when we start winning. But the two geniuses who put this organization together,
right,
and I mean that in a loving way, I'm being serious, they are. We shouldn't be this far along 3 years in where we are and have already, you know, been crowned champions. But, Mike, they got to have that conversation.
Well, the thing now is, if you hadn't read it, I think it was either Steve Hummer or Doug had it in the AJC as well. And it actually was Doug Robertson. Guys, don't remember, Toronto wins the MLS championship in 17. That makes a concerted effort to win the CONCACAF Champions League last year. And it's an unmitigated disaster. They come up short, and it kind of derailed their MLS season to the point they don't even make the playoffs. So it's been known as the T-word. So we're hoping that we don't replicate that kind of bad juju. That's why I got to be honest with you. As high hopes as I had for us putting on a good show down in Monterey, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be down. Looks like we're working on putting a broadcast together.
Yeah.
To be down there at the Gulch. Not all the details.
Because we'd like to have a good time.
I like to party.
Yeah.
But I'm not maybe the worst thing if we just lose and we can get out of this CONCACAF and focus on the matter at hand, which is winning another MLS title.
All right, man. Frank DeBoer, here's what he had to say. And I want you to listen closely because Coach DeBoer speaking about Miggy. And how in transition last year, this is a big part of what we were able to do offensively, and we can't do it right now.
But, you know, last season, we won a lot of times in transition. It's not that we dominated games. No, it was a lot of times transition, and with Omron gets the ball. And, yeah, we are now the hunted, and we have to try and make the game.
So we got to figure that out. More on Atlanta United coming up. Hey, Josh Donaldson, we talked about it Friday, got his first action. Here's Donaldson talking about seeing his first action over the weekend.
I wanted to be aggressive. I hadn't seen live pitching in probably about a week or so. I wanted to see where my timing was at. Wasn't quite to where I wanted it to be yet, but I was, you know, able to see some pitches, lay off some pretty tough pitches, and felt like I saw the ball pretty well.
Said his timing wasn't necessarily there, but it was good to see the ball in his first at couple at bats. Listen, I'm not worried maybe as much as some people about Donaldson. I just think the Braves are being very cautious, Mike.
Yep, and with reason to be. I mean, the calf and lower body issues had some problems with this guy. And $23 million, you're betting on him getting it together. So they'll take their time, just like they did with Dansby getting him in the mix. How about Brian McCann? There's an article over the weekend talking about Brian after he had his knee cleaned up with the Astros. Feels better. He's betting 500, by the way, down there in spring training. Doing a nice job. I didn't like seeing the Dave O'Brien comments from Snitker that apparently we're going to start the season with closer by committee with Minter and Vizcaino. How does that make you feel?
Well, it doesn't. I don't feel anything. I'm numb. This is why we needed to go get a closer.
No, no. Some days it's going to be Minter. Some days it's going to be Vizcaino. We'll go by feel. We'll play some AC/DC Thunderstruck. The bullpen door will open, and hopefully we'll get the result. It just drives me crazy. And by the way, if you're looking at the pitching stats, Tukey's not good, Carl. It's Kyle Wright. Tukey, we're going to have to table that emotion for the next couple of weeks unless he gets things turned around. Kyle Wright's the guy that's going to break camp as a starter. He's got to. You know, and you still need another starter.
Tukey, right?
Very small sample size. You and I were high on Tukey, and he may get there. But right now, Kyle Wright's the guy of all the young guys who needs to be in the starting rotation.
I don't disagree. His stuff's been really good. Tukey had a really good outing in his last spring outing. I think those are the two guys. That if you're going to start the season, they're ready to immediately help you. As far as the closer thing, okay, what's today's date? 11th.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, how's this time change treating you, by the way?
Oh, I love it. Love it. Got used to it.
Yeah, I don't have any issues either. I like the fact that I was out last night watching the sun go down at 8 o'clock or 8:30, whatever it was. It's the 11th. I'm not going to say anything about this closer situation until it becomes a situation.
Okay?
I don't like it. I think we could have upgraded our bullpen. We've chose not to. Let's hope it doesn't become an issue because I'm with you. I don't like the idea of what Snicker's saying about this whole committee thing. It may work, but if it doesn't, and if we're scoring runs, Mike, and it comes back to bite us in games, especially early on, I'm telling you, people are going to be losing their minds because that is the one thing you don't want to do is lose games when you've got a lead and the bullpen's coming up giving up runs.
Donaldson batting second today, Freeman batting third. So they're moving Freddie around. They've been moving Acuna. They had Acuna now, second game in a row where he's been batting cleanup.
Yeah, I saw that. You like that?
I mean, as you said earlier, the best athlete, the guy who's going to get on base the most, rather see him getting his maximum at bats. And obviously, you're batting 1, 2, or 3, you're going to get that. So, I mean, just Snicker having some fun playing with it. That's what you do in spring training.
Yeah, I was listening. So maybe some talking head on television saying that the Braves should move Acuna to maybe the cleanup spot. I still disagree with that. Because here's the deal. You know, people say, well, you can't, you know, walk around him or you can't pitch around him in that position at four. Yeah, but if you put him on base in the leadoff spot, he's still in bases. And now, Mike, you're getting nervous, and all of a sudden he's putting pressure on pitchers. I think it's a win-win. Either he's getting on with hitting, or you're walking him to start the game or maybe to start an inning, and it immediately puts pressure on a pitcher to deliver.
Another guy that we've been talking about, and again, he's got a very small sample size, but so far this spring training, the home run ball from Christian Pache.
Yeah.
And he's already been arguably the best defensive piece in the outfield. So if you can continue to, whether you move on from Ender at some point or not, for the idea of Acuna and Ender Inciarte and Christian Pache, you're going to have one of the best defensive outfields in baseball. A lot of good things happening. The only beef I think you and I have, it remains to be one more starting pitcher and or a closer.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment. Jason Longshore on the way, guys. Congratulations going out to Georgia State. They win the regular season Sun Belt title. Now they've got to finish up with the conference championship, hopefully in their tournament. And they'll be dancing, guys, and tournaments start this week. We'll talk more about that at 4 o'clock, ACC and SEC as well.
Now, over the weekend, you and I, we got an interesting proposition here, and that is Dallas maybe not getting maybe actually stealing that protected pick, Carl, because they keep getting down. They are definitely tanking. Cuban called it out last year and got in trouble for it. And this year, you could argue the same result. They've lost 10 of their last 11. There's, six games behind the Hawks in the loss column right now. So there's still room to go. But they've got 16 games to play. The Hawks have 14. And the Hawks, of course, beat the Pelicans over the weekend.
Yeah, 1-1 split. By the way, Trey has a triple-double, first of his career on Saturday. Thanks, ESPN, for the coverage. There wasn't any. And then you see the monster game by John Collins. 33-20. Go look up guys who get those 33 and 20. 33 points, 20 boards. That's monster game.
He is one of the big stars. We focus a lot on Trey and Trey versus Luka. But meanwhile, you know, John Collins is one of the rising stars here in the NBA. Kevin Huerter, by the way, 11 of 18 from the floor last night, finishes with 27.
You ready?
He continues to impress.
Please, Kevin, don't hurt him. Get it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Kevin Huerter. All right, man, he's playing well. Jump on board, man. He can play. Hey, coming up, though, Jason Longshore. Does he have answers? And if he does, I want to hear him.
Martinez scores!
It's time for our Monday Atlanta United recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into what's going on with our Atlanta United with the analyst for our club. His name is Jason Longshore. If you're new to the program, follow him at Longshore on Twitter, and he joins us in studio this week. First things first, yesterday's match, before we get into some, you know, tactics and formations and all the things that everybody wants to talk about, second half, my opinion, sloppy, flat, no sense of urgency, and it cost us. What was your opinion of the inability to really finish a team that was not doing anything, literally for, you know, 70 minutes of the match?
Sloppy, 100% sloppy, and I think that's tired legs. I really do at the end, because I wouldn't say flat, no urgency. I think part of the problem is this team's in its own head a little bit right now, in terms of you want to build possession, you want to control possession, you want to connect the easy passes, make the simple pass. I'm close to you, I'm going to play you the ball. Sometimes to open things up, you have to make the more difficult ball. Sometimes you have to even play long to give the ball away to win it back in a counter press. Right now, it feels like it's always the same tempo, and that's not what will work against the team in Cincinnati, who gave up a goal early and said, you know what, we don't want to get run out of the building, we're going to sit back and defend and make life difficult for you, and they did.
It is our man Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshore. And again, guys, we're right back in action for Monterey. We've got to score four goals, by the way, on Wednesday night in the CCL. Here's the thing. Everybody's got a theory. All the soccer heads where I sit in section 208. Obviously, we knew we were going to miss Miggy. But is Miggy's speed and what he does, is there any way that Tito Villalba can kind of give you some of that? And where was he yesterday?
Don't know where he was yesterday other than the bench. Not sure what the option is there. Miguel Almiron is a special player. And what Atlanta United had in 2017 especially, where they were still figuring it out, where they were in this type of frame where it's all about building a philosophy. And you're going to have bumpy patches in it. What you always had then was speed. You could play over the top and just keep it simple and let Miguel and let Tito run onto something and see what happens. You don't have that right now. That's not PT Martinez's game. That's not Ezequiel Barco's game. They want the ball. They want to combine. They want to dribble. They're not going to be looking for that ball over the top. You have to play to them. Their back is to goal. Then they have to combine. There's so many pieces that have to work right now. When it's working, it can look great, as it did against Herediano in the second leg. When it's not working, it looks very static and it looks very bland at times. And that's not what we associate with Atlanta United.
Joseph sprints off the pitch yesterday. How frustrated do you think he is? And was that just a function of us in a match that we felt like we should have won? Or is that a culmination of what we've seen over the last four or five matches?
I think you have to understand the Latin player. There's this thing here about after a soccer game, and you see it whether it's at, you know, Silverbacks Park with the old Atlanta Silverbacks or in the second division or other MLS cities, where, you know, it's still looked at as a very fan-friendly, get the kids out, got to go shake hands with the kids. Look, that's not how it's played around the rest of the world. You don't expect Matt Ryan, after having a bad day, to hang around and take selfies.
Right.
You know, and Joseph Martinez should not be expected to do the same. Leandro Gonzalez Pires left quickly. They're angry. They don't want to lose matches. That's completely normal. I think that's a good thing. I'd feel worse if they were hanging around and everything looked like it didn't bother them.
Jason Longshore here breaking it down for us as Atlanta United. By the way, no one is running away if you're worried about just two games into the MLS season. Everybody in the Eastern Conference is basically in the same boat. We're just 3 points out of first place. That said, all right, so what are we going to do here? I mean, are we going to have to really wait till after the Philadelphia Union game to have those 2 weeks to rest our guys up? I mean, is this where our lot in life is? We just can't seem to get things cooking, and the only thing that's going to make things better is rest?
I think you take Wednesday's game as an opportunity to see if there's something different you can do on Sunday against Philadelphia. It's not must win on Sunday, but it kind of has that feel to it,
right,
because of the vibe right now. It's not in terms of the standings. It's not in terms of the playoffs. It is in terms of changing the narrative. And I think a win Sunday before that two-week break would be really critical. And you're facing a Philadelphia Union squad that has looked really bad, very bad defensively, and they're missing their playmaker who's suspended due to red card.
And just to follow up, because I know you've talked about this with Mike on the broadcast, is this just the worst way you could start your career in the, running an MLS team if you're Frank DeBoer because of how the schedule played out?
In terms of the schedule, yeah, it's incredibly difficult because you're having to, whether you like it or not, and I know the conversation at the beginning was evolution, not revolution, you're not making major changes. Once you get into it, without Miguel Almiron, it's a very different team. It has a different personality, and you have to then get used to Pity Martinez and the personality he brings to you on the field. He didn't win South American Player of the Year like on a fluke. The guy's a player. He just got called up to play next to Lionel Messi with the Argentina national team, but he's not settled yet. You can see it. He's not comfortable. He's not on the same page with his teammates yet in terms of combination play. That takes time. It's easy when you bring in a new player who has the speed element and you can play over the top and keep it simple. With a guy like Pity, you've got to figure out how to get the best out of him and how he can get the best out of his teammates.
It is Jason Longshore joining us. Folks tweeting at me going, Dukes, have Longshore convince me to get off or not to get on the DeBoer out train, which is something that, was tweeting yesterday or, yes. or trending.
Right.
And I appreciate this, but I have to ask, how flexible is our manager? And what does he have to do to help us be more of an attacking style team? I get the Pity part of it. I understand the players aspect of it. But what does our manager have to do? What is his responsibility in this?
That's what we're going to have to find out, because right now it's not working. And the match yesterday was the worst match we've seen so far. You'd think it'd be edging to the better side of things.
Right.
Yesterday felt like a step back, and the biggest thing for me, I think we get really hung up on formation, and this was something that we talked about yesterday. I don't think the formation matters right now. I think it's a bigger problem than that.
Okay, so Jace, real quick, not to interrupt, because we got soccer fans and United fans listening right now, and they're going, okay, this is all we're talking about. So you're saying the 4-3-4, all that doesn't really
matter. The 3-4-3
doesn't matter.
Is not the issue, because you can be in a, let's take last year, for example, 3-5-2. You came out and you started in a 3-5-2. You were a very attack-minded 3-5-2.
Mm-hmm.
Postseason, you were not an attack-minded 3-5-2. It's the same formation.
Tata pivoted, changed the strategy a bit,
but it's the same formation. We get hung up on formation. Like, that defines the tactics. That defines the philosophy. No, the philosophy is number one. The philosophy is possession. Right now, the problem is that possession is not leading to chances because you can't get behind a low-block defense. You can't get behind a team like Cincinnati that plays four with three midfielders in front. There's no penetration, whether it's from wide or from through ball centrally or over the top. Zero. So when you're not penetrating, you can put them in a 4-3-3, 4-4-2, 3-5-2. It doesn't matter if you're not creating chances.
All right, Jason Longshore is here trying to get us off the ledge. It just, everybody wants to know, what's the secret then? How do we get Pity in a place to succeed? How does Barco use his amazing skill set to do things? Are we going to have to get Breccia off the pitch? Because it seems like he's a stop sign right now.
Breccia's struggling at the moment. I thought Breccia was really effective against Arellano in the second leg. He's played a lot of minutes since then. George Bello is a guy who can stretch a team a little bit with his speed.
Escobar going to make things better?
Yeah, because he's a guy who can stretch a team with his speed. I mean, compare Escobar to Gressel. Gressel's not getting in behind players. Escobar is. And right now, Pity, Barco, Joseph, that's not their game. They're not trying to get in behind guys. You need the guys out wide to get behind the outside backs of the opposition. That forces them to get stretched out. That creates more opportunity centrally. It's all about that movement. And yesterday, you look at it, it's very static. And that's a problem because it's easy for the defense. They keep everything in front of them. It's hard to create chances, hard to create shots.
Now, I'm glad you said that because, you know, I said yesterday's match was boring, and that's my opinion, you know, from what I'm used to seeing, okay? And I think what you just said, we made it easy for them to play that way, and the style that ultimately played out was boring because of it. Everyone I'm talking to around the country, Jason, just said exactly what you just said, and that is get our guys out wide, right? Create those opportunities, and I'm going, okay, listen, I've never managed a soccer club in my life, but I know enough people in soccer who continue to tell me this. Why can't we do that?
Well, one reason you haven't been able to do it is George Bello was hurt after the first leg of the Arellano series, and Franco Escobar hasn't been available since the first day of training camp. That's a problem, because Breck Shea's not a guy who's going to stretch the back line. Julian Gressel's not a guy who stretches the back line. Julian Gressel's a guy who really helps you in other ways, and Breck Shea does as well, but they're not guys to stretch a team out. And when you have a lot of players who want the ball at their feet and they're looking to combine or play sideways, it's tough when a team sits deep.
Right. You know, we've talked about, you know, the great job that Darren Eels has done, winning all the accolades, executive of the year, and him and Carlos, fantastic job. And then we saw last night, and yeah, great job by the crowd to give Greg Garza a nice round of applause when he came in.
Yes, that was outstanding.
And I understand we made money, and it was just, it made sense at the time, but I mean, do we miss a guy like Garza right now as well?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree.
Oh, just because the overall concern with Greg is, as much as we love him, he just can't stay healthy, so it made sense to move on.
I mean, you're missing him because you had Bello get injured. And I think that's the biggest thing here, is if you have George Bello from game one, and people got on Bello in Arellano because it's your first game under a new manager on the road in Costa Rica on an unfamiliar surface, and Bello was okay. Bello had one mistake that committed a foul, then led to a free kick and a goal. Bello was okay, and he's 17 years old. He's going to get better when he plays. But what he gives you is he can stretch a team out because of his speed. You have to take that into account if you're defending it. Atlanta has to find a way, whatever shape you're in, to go from being a possession team but mix up the tempo some. What it felt like yesterday, you talk about it being boring.
Yes.
What it felt like yesterday is you go to the orchestra and the conductor keeps the orchestra at the same tempo for 2 hours.
Yes.
You have to speed it up and slow it down. If it's all the same, it's predictable. If you speed it up sometimes, put your foot on the gas and go fast, even if it's Julian going down the wing against traffic, okay. See what happens. Then play off of that. Play a ball over the top to win the second ball. You have to change the tempo sometimes, or it gets predictable.
They kind of did that in the second half down in Mexico, right, against Monterrey for a bit.
In that 15-20 minute span where I thought they played as well as they've played in 2019, where they took the game's initiative and put Monterrey on the ropes a little bit, they were doing that, and they were going over the top a little bit. Pity Martinez was flaring out to the wing because he could find space there to operate. You're not doing that enough right now. And it's just not consistent enough. And that has to change. And this is a team with so much firepower, they have to find a way to get past teams that play a low block. We've seen it before.
We've talked
about it before. They have to find the way with this group of players to do it.
Okay. Jason, thank you for – I just stepped back a few feet off the ledge, okay?
A few feet? Did I get you back a few feet?
A few feet, okay?
Are you still looking?
I mean, I'm still looking because I'm concerned.
Fair enough. We just don't. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to have these discussions, though.
It's so tough when you, you – know, I feel like I got a jet ski in a bathtub right now with this team.
Jason Longshore, we'll be down there. We're working on it, as a matter of fact, to be down there broadcasting on Wednesday for the Monterrey match. Thank you, sir. Great job. Follow him. Long Shoe. I hope he helped you like he just helped me. Coming up, it's the NFL Blitz next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.